new outline. I believe in June, the minimum floor price for all fleet is coming down to 150. And what is your internal assessment of its impact?
What we've gathered so far that is that it's limited to the off-net flow, and that the on-net flow will remain as is. I think part of the regulator's attempt to bring about some degree of asymmetry, meaning that the large operator's advantage in terms of on-net will come down a little bit. Impact-wise, we are hopeful that the industry will hold price.
Prices? So
yes, that the price will be held. That is the that is something that we do hope for. But even if not, even if the everyone rushes to the floor within a few days of the floor coming down, the elasticity levels that we are seeing in the market today are such that revenue neutrality should be achieved pretty soon after that, especially on the prepaid side.
Mm-hmm. Can you jog my memory? If you simply assume without elasticity a 50 cents removal, reduction in the price, 25%, is how much of revenue? What is that number approximately?
Yeah, the on the revenue mix, off-net contributes 30%
right.
Of revenues, and then on-net is 70%.
Mm-hmm.
So this 25% is only 30%, so effectively 8%. And then voice revenues are about 80% of total revenues. So it's less than 5% impact in terms of the core revenues.
So that as that a rupee figure, about it'll 2 be billion, like, no? It's about 2 billion a year, roughly.
About 50 million a month.
Only that, is it?
So yeah, because the postpaid will not suffer this reduction, because majority of the postpaid customers currently operate at below flow rate, the blaster package.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot adjust that price. If we adjust, then we have to remove that 1,000 free minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So those customers still pay today at 3 rupees on off-net. So majority of the impact will happen, or correction will happen, on prepaid. And since it's only 38% of revenues, impact would be very insignificant.
Second part is that these flows were only for new connections, right? So is there a move to make it for all connections?
Not at the moment. There's no move. Obviously, there's a lobby for that from the smaller operators.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not averse to that position either, so we haven't lobbied against it.
Mm-hmm.
The regulator has a political issue, I believe, to state that all previous tariffs are going up, so that it reflects in a tariff increase.
Mm-hmm.
Political and communication issue. So far, no.
Okay, and just two other questions. One is that if you take the industry MOUs, all communication, what is happening to that number? It's growing at what level? Or is there a change in the pie? Or would you have a sense of what's happening?
Last couple of quarters, we don't see much of a change in the pie. Right? It's moving. It's more capturing SIM share, or SIM time share at the bottom of the pyramid.
You're saying that the revenue is not, the MOUs in the industry are not growing?
We believe not, yes. I mean, if you just look at the two reported operators, and still even in Mobitel's case, we can't get very definitive information.
Mm-hmm.
Because but from our measurements of interconnect traffic, on-net traffic, it appears that there's a swing from one to the other, but not.
So I'm trying to reconcile with 8% GDP growth. Why the MOU is not growing?
Yeah, I think majority of the growth is coming from changing a timeshare from one operator to the other. Fairly insignificant growth on MOUs per subscriber.
Broadband is growing.
Broadband is growing. VAS is growing.
finally, about number portability, any news on that?
Nothing much. No. Still the same. Very infrequent discussions with the regulator.
Unlikely to happen this year.
No.
Will there be any more questions?
That point, Muthasa, about the MOUs not growing. I read a report that in the US, voice revenues are coming off because people are, and I've noticed myself as well, you tend to SMS and Facebook to contact people. Could that be happening here as well? SMS taking over calling people. Is that a possibility?
Certainly in the prepaid market, we see high degree of elasticity on the SMS side. But I think the absence of information on MOUs of the other operators, other than our own extrapolations from interconnect data, that is one gap that we have in the information stream. Not the MOUs. But I think it's more, at the prepaid customers are very elastic. Provided the economy is running well, they are very elastic. They are budget limited, so that they, if they are willing to spend 100 rupees every 2 weeks, they will spend that 100 rupees. So it becomes elastic. But they might spend it on different operators or share the SIMs and so on. So we haven't come to the point where an individual is actually spending that 100 rupees every 10 days instead of every 14 days. Because an MOU increase in a flow rate environment where prices are not changing, it has to result in an increased ARPU, which is not.
The second question is... Okay, last year you had the cost cutting, towards the end of the year revenue increases as well. But strategically you seem to have hit a point in terms of EBITDA margin. And growth, prospects don't look that good. So what's the strategy going forward? Is it just very stable cash flows but no growth in that? Or is there, what can you do to?
I think on the cost side, the low-hanging fruit, you're right. Low-hanging fruit have been taken out. As you would have seen from that cost variance or the beta variance analysis, a lot of the direct costs, there's nothing much we can do about their revenue linked or their taxation linked. However, there are some structural costs coming from the maintenance of the network, the AMC, the network costs themselves, always open to improvement. There was an 18% hike year on year in network costs based on the expansion. And typically, you go through cycles of expanding, then bringing the new coverage area into the same efficiency bracket as the old coverage. And that optimization is done continuously, regionalization, putting people closer in the regions and so on. So there is room. Couple of points in EBITDA, I think, can be recovered back to the steady state conditions. And I think I've said before that stretching the EBITDA beyond that 37-38 range in this market would be difficult. Top line, however, that's margin wise. But top line, I think there's room to grow. We are becoming, from this, what we see on the street, we are getting an increasing share of incremental SIM cards. That's not necessarily incremental human beings, but incremental SIM cards in the market. And also, our subscribers. Coverage, consolidation, quality of service. We have spent a lot of time getting, stretching our coverage. I think we are growing the fastest in terms of coverage. The capex that you're seeing is hitting the ground. And of course, the on-net advantage of the dialogue network. Some promotions also doing well, like the reload, the Lord of the Reload promotion, which is increasing attachment onto the network. So more and more people are always attached to the network because they're reloading often. Mobile broadband, a lot of potential. International services, I think, growing very well, albeit with a lower EBITDA margin. I think our focus on top line, coupled with a target to constrain EBITDA margin or lift up EBITDA margin by another 2 or 3 points. But that's the immediate strategy.
And on the CapEx side, would you think this level of CapEx, or do you think you have scope to again reduce CapEx?
Right now, this is a steady state flow. Even at the previous one, around 100, 2.5 billion a quarter is a kind of level you'd expect, maybe with a few peaks and troughs based on capitalization. But overall, we need to do this to get the 3G network into the markets where broadband can be exploited, and also some money going into fiber, the fiber backbone. Between Sri Lanka Telecom and us, and Mobitel and us, that advantage is, we have been fortunately rolling out fiber to the key base stations and nodes, and we're just about to light up Mathura and Kandy, followed by many other key towns. So between SLT and us, we'll be pretty much on top.
Can you explain again? Mathura means all the base stations have fiber connectivity, is it? Or just to
those that require a high throughput pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in a broadband network, not every base station will be equipped to, or need be equipped to carry, say, 44. It would be fine to just have 3.6 or 7.2 based on the usage densities. So those hub sites where smaller base stations are connected to one hub and the fiber goes there, or to very high capacity base station. So as required, we take the fiber to the base station. Otherwise, the fiber is running up to the main switches.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is that with this evolution into 4G, if you look at the landscape in 2 years' time, considering the global themes, what is happening with devices, what's going to happen? Like, where is this industry going? Can you give us some?
Yeah, I think broadband consumption will go up. While there's competition, operators would be compelled to throw more and more bandwidth to keep consumers happy. Because on the other side, the devices and the applications will demand bandwidth. The applications will get richer and richer, and the devices will get better and better. So the combine of these two things will pull bandwidth from the operators. And as long as they are in competition and not reacting to that, bandwidth costs will go up. And it will be key to get the cost to serve on the broadband service as low as possible. And this will have two components, the domestic and the international. The domestic part is somewhat within our control, and infrastructure such as fiber in-house will give you a cost advantage, whereas the other operators will have to lease it off us, and there will be an OPEX, a cash impact coming in. International is something which I think the whole country has to contend with, the cost of international bandwidth.
So if you look at in a more advanced country, is the consumer spend increasing into communication services, or is it just substituting one source of consumption for another source, like is a voice revenue going down and broadband revenue going
down? Yeah, I think that freemium concept, and in very developed markets you are getting the freemium concept, right? Where the media, it's basically the media spend is subsidizing the basic voice spend, has been the case for a while. Here I don't see that happening, because here it's almost the other way around. Broadband prices have already collapsed to the rate that they're nowhere near subsidizing or can't be used to subsidize voice.
So say 2 years hence, once you have more and more broadband, do you think the ARPU from one customer is going to go up, or will it, the pricing is coming down and the spend, the share of the wallet is yet remaining the same?
Yeah, I think majority of the market there will be substitution and the wallet size will remain the same or grow, because there is a substitution effect across transportation and other forms of expenditure. I mean, you can see that in simple applications, even like e-channeling, highly used application, that substituting for transport, many other services, movie tickets and so on. So, I think the wallet will, if at all, increase. I don't think we need to worry about some other sector taking away wallet share.
So you're saying the wallet share will grow?
Yeah.
And if the wallet itself grows, not only is the spend increasing, but the share of spend is also increasing.
Correct.
Thank you. Any more questions, ladies and gentlemen? Take your silence as there will be no more questions for the evening. Thank you. We'd like to now invite you to partake in some refreshments for the evening. Thank you very much for your participation, and we wish you a fantastic evening.